campaign. His perception of him has changed. You know, he's not the race. He's not a racist, if they once perceived him to be. Three, we've got blacks who are supporting him or did support him in this past election. Now, there's a changing perception of Wallace. And the question is, has he really changed?
Or has he adjusted to changing circumstances?
What difference does it make whether he's adjusted to changing circumstances or whether he's changed? Oh, I think, hell, he's a politician like all of us. And obviously, it does not help him nationally to be called a racist. It's better to say he's not a racist. So, I don't know. Look at, you read the Boston Globe, you know what's going on in Boston right now with busing. Look at that fucking Kevin White, that phony son of a bitch. Look at, I just think he is. I don't mean that critically. A politician, that's a fair characterization of a politician. But those guys might change, too, you know, since they got that busing problem, which is a hell of a problem. I guess probably he's changed to begin with.
Well, let me rephrase a little bit. Has he changed because circumstances have changed and there's no longer any political profit in working on the race issue, or has there been some sort of change because of the brush with death and more metaphysical reasons?
Well, of course,
has been the effect of it being shot?
A psychiatrist answer that kind of question.
But you've been close to him before and since, and seen him and so forth. You should have some sort of.
Now about this getting shot up there. The only difference I've seen is before he couldn't fire anybody, and now he's a little, after that he's a little bit tougher. Before, at least he had some diversion from politics, not much. But now he's got no diversion from politics. I mean, it's complete with him. There's nothing else in his life but politics. And he's really more of a politician. Now, when you ask me to pick a man's soul and find out whether a brush with death says something wrong, and use that word in a moral sense, and the way I've handled the race thing politically, therefore I better stop doing it. I don't know. Shit. Nobody can answer that question.
Yes, but it's an important question in terms of national politics, because if the perception is he did change, it means a hell of a lot.
Well, I don't think there's any question that he feels much more comfortable with the new perception of him than he did with the old perception of him. Wallace did not like this business being tagged racist. Back in 1958, which is when I first got involved with Wallace politics, I remember a speech he made on television one night where he started working on the Ku Klux Klan, the Night Riders. That was a hell of a speech. But of course, Patterson defeated him in that election. Of course, as the legend goes, he said he wasn't going to be out-segged, out-niggered again. Well, I never heard him say that. That does not sound like Wallace. He may be thinking that they're not going to beat me that way again. But that does not sound like him to come out with a statement. But I'm certain that he feels more comfortable. He's not a bigot in the sense. I have known some people, very damn few of them, but I have known some people that I felt that were really anti-black because of the color. I never You never know why. You know, really against black people in politics. One of them is this guy Tom Turnipseed, who left here and went to South Carolina. I got the feeling Tom really was a racist. Do you know him?
He's running for attorney general.
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, I know him.
How's he going to come out in that race?
I don't know.
Has he changed? I really felt Tom Turnipseed probably was a racist.
Hell, Tom got the address in the state NAACP.
But answer your question, yes, I think in that sense it's fair to say there's been a change, but I think it's more accurate to say that he feels more comfortable now, that he doesn't, to be called a racist creates problems for you, political problems for you. Not to be called a racist avoids political problems. And I prefer to say that he feels more comfortable.
Has he done anything to warrant the change to public, national public perception of it?
For example, what do you mean?
Well, the last Harris poll shows that perception of his integrity has gone up.
Yes. Sir.
Perception of they read the statement, you know, George Wallace is a bigot or something like that. That people who said yes has gone down and the no has gone up. That sort of thing.
Well, has he done anything? Well, he has not. Let me put it this way: he has not done anything that would refute or discourage this change, the findings of this.
When I say done anything, I mean has he done anything insofar as taking substantive action as opposed to changing his style of rhetoric. He's obviously changed his rhetoric, and that I think is reflected in this change.
I don't know.
But has he done anything of a substantive nature? That's what I mean.
I don't know. You mean by way of appointments and that sort of thing. See whether he appointed anybody or not. I don't.
He's the only Southern governor without a black on his staff.
Well,
doesn't
my guess is he'll have one this next go around. Hell, we got county commissioners in Mobile, and tax assessor in Mobile that have appointed blacks in their offices, and my guess is that he will. If you call that doing something that will find its way.
Well, appointing blacks to boards and commissions other than, what is he, 6 or 8 few token appointments?
He will probably do that this next go round. But I don't know of anything that he has done other than by silence and inaction that cause the poll results that you referred to.
But no rhetoric is a form of action.
That's true.
You go back to 1969 of that resolution, and then I guess his appearance on television telling parents that their children do not have to go to the schools in the districts to which they were assigned. Now that was not doing anything in the period since then, I guess.
That's right.
Is a form of, in a sense, of
that's right.
How did you react about the Pritchard speech? You heard about the 69 speech.
Shit, which one was that now?
The one where he told parents over there that they can take their kids to school, the same school they did last time, or don't have to go to the new district.
Oh, I passed a resolution up there. Is that when Brewer was governor?
This was in 69.
Yeah, Brewer was
governor. Right. Brewer got sore at me because I passed some resolution for Wallace. And it was, that's when they just started busing here. And there was a great deal of unhappiness over the busing. I think that was 1969. Well, I was right in the middle of it. What do you mean how did I react? shit house like all other politicians, trying to keep one jump ahead of the people, man. That's what they all do, and that's what I keep coming back to, that I think the successful politician of the future is going to change that style. I think they're going to...
You think that's because the public is changing, man? Or what?
No, I think that this, Jack, I just think that the public is so frustrated and disgusted and distrustful. They have heard, for example, Wallace tell them that he's going to curse utilities and he's going to reduce utility rates, people running for office. Well, that's bullshit, man. Nobody going to reduce utility rates in this damn state, or any state for that matter. The average politician says they're going to reduce interest rates. Well, they ain't got a goddamn thing to do with interest rates. That's not true. Tell them down there, everybody running for the legislature, say they're going to take sales tax off groceries and drugs. Well, they're not going to be able to do it. And I think that you reach the point where that old pap, you're saying, it doesn't sell anymore. People don't swallow it. They won't... What they're really looking for is leadership, like his time essay talked about, and I think part of that leadership is going to be, let's get away from the old hypocritical approach to politics and play it straight with folks. Just talk straight with them, tell them the truth, I think. I think they'll be responsive, politically responsive. They may be wrong. Of course, I won't have a chance. I'm not going to intend to test my theory. I'm going to recommend it to some other folks, see how it works. I don't know whether I did or not, if I'm staying in there or not. Wallace says he's going to his last 4 years. Don't tell him I told you that. He says he's going. Says he's tired of all this shit. From people coming up there lobbying. School teachers talking about quality education. They don't mean quality education. They mean more goddamn money for school teachers. That's all they mean. He's tired of all that. And all these phony college presidents coming in there and talking about if we don't get all this money, our professors are going to Mississippi and Louisiana, North Carolina. Duke's going to hire them all. He says he's going to stop all that stuff this last 4 years. I doubt it. It's something we like to sit around and talk about doing. You'd love to do it, but I...
Is Wallace, one impression I've got of Wallace is that he is a type of personality that really likes to avoid confrontation.
Yeah, he doesn't like it.
When you're talking about a tough political fight, like you got to get in there and, you know, to get a state purchasing agency set up, you got to go fight all these agencies. He really doesn't like to get into a battle, particularly one where he might lose.
Well, of course, I was his floor leader during this past term, and he let folks like me do all that stuff, mix it up, you see.
Yeah. But how much did he get into it himself?
Very damn little. But I wouldn't say that he would be disinclined to get into it if he had to. But, I mean, if I were in his position, and I had half a dozen guys who'd go out and do all of the dirty work, make folks sore, and bear the confrontations, and suffer the conflicts, then I'd use them too. I wouldn't do it myself. I don't know about that. I've never thought about Wallace in those terms, whether he shied away from hard conflict.
We just keep hearing of Wallace's populist instincts, an economic liberal, and some people even compare him to Huey Long, and yet the record just doesn't show that much. You point out sometimes.
That much, I mean,
for what? Right, you know, he hasn't really attempted to change the fundamental tax structure of the state. you know, if you get into something like that, changing the state constitution, with his popularity, if he really went out and stumped the state on something like that, wouldn't he be in a position to get that passed?
Change the state constitution? What are you talking about, John?
Well, the limits on income tax.
Well, I mean, that'd be pretty stupid for a guy to go. If you go out and you make that an issue, that you're going to remove these limits on income tax and the Constitution, and what are you for? You're for raising taxes. Well, about the dumbest thing a politician can do now is identify himself with increasing taxes.
I'm talking about tax reform. You're saying how can you take off the sales tax on food and drugs? Well, you can take it off there by increasing it somewhere else. It'd be one way of doing it. That would be tax.
How about a new constitution?
All right, hey, who is that? Who was that that tried to? Oh, yeah. I'll tell you who tried that. Henry Howell tried that in Virginia. Did you follow that race?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I will that one. I mean, I don't know, Walter. This is the sort of stuff I think is all horseshit, by the way. I mean, I watch Louisiana. They get them a new constitution. Big fucking deal. I watch this crowd in this state. They say they're going to improve the Constitution. We got too many amendments to it. I just can't, and I suspect that Wallace feels the same way. Whether he puts it in the words that I put it in, I can't get excited about this shit, about a new Constitution. Oh, we got a new judicial article in this state now. We've just amended our Constitution. We've made a better court. Horseshit, man. Our court system is not substantially different from what it was before, except the Supreme Court's got more power than it did before. We have not really improved the administration of justice in this state one fucking bit. So 90% of what you talk about, when you talk about a new constitution, to me, is just bullshit kind of stuff. You know, I mean, it's kind of theoretical stuff. Well, they need a new constitution. I can't, I'm really not interested in that, and I don't think the average guy is interested in it. You might have some political scientists up there at the University of Alabama that'll tell you how fucking bad we need a new constitution, show you how many amendments we've had to it. Maybe some of these goddamn lawyers that don't have anything to do will tell you that. We do have some problems in this state that we have not done anything about, that something ought to be done about.
How would you enumerate those problems?
Well, one, I think, is mental health. Now, he's done a hell of a lot, but goddammit, somebody is going to have to raise the money. We still don't have the money. We're either going to have to raise additional funds, or we're going to have to choke it out of these greedy goddamn colleges and universities and stop their wasting it in order to get enough money for the mentally ill in the state of Alabama. Now, we, up until a couple of years ago, this part low, it'd make you sick to your stomach to go to a school for mentally retarded over in Tuscaloosa. We did pass a $52 million bond this year. I forgot how much of that money went to mental health, but we don't have enough money in this state. And I passed the last tax measures that were passed funding of mental health. We don't raise enough money in this state for the mentally ill. It's a real problem. You've got a lot of families that have got children who are emotionally unbalanced or retarded or mentally ill in some form where those kids are not receiving treatment and they ought to receive it. Now we've made a lot of progress. I think that's our number one problem. Along with that is need for more doctors. We have established a second medical school, but we're not going to get more doctors if whoever the governor doesn't stay on top of the medical association and make these amendments, go on and train the doctors. They'll tell you they can only take a new class of 100. I think they could take 250. I think it's all bullshit. Another big problem we have in this state is prison. So they just damn jungles. And this is not prison reform, is something that I mean, when somebody's going to have to tell the people the truth, that if they don't spend money to make these prisons into some sort of humane institutions, then all it's doing is costing them money in the long run. We need that badly. Those are the things we really need. And Wallace does. I noticed the other day on a substantial portion of the money he gets from revenue sharing goes for the, either mental health or for to improve our prison system. That's what counts to me. I think that's what means something to the people. This talked about vague conversation about tax reform. Shit, I don't know what you mean. And I know about as much about our tax structure, I think, as anybody in this. No, I don't either. But damn near as much as anybody does. Give me a day to study it, and I know as much as anybody does. Refresh myself on it. I don't think we have any glaring inequity in our tax law. Yes, it'd be desirable, Walter, to have a good, clean, pure constitution that political scientists and lawyers who don't have anything to do and get their rocks off on. But shit, that's something that a politician can't really get his guts into. Because it's not going to affect the average guy, damn. It's not going to make him, help him any with his problems. These judges are happy as hell. They got the judicial article now. They're using that to avoid compliance with the ethics bill. They say we don't have to come out of the ethics bill. Because we've got our own separate thing. Shit. Those are things that, where you're talking about reform and making a place a better state, and every state's got some problems we've got.
One of the things we're trying to do in the book is look back over the past 25 years, 1974 back to 48, and look at the trends. One assertion we hear is that the basic social changes that have occurred in this state have come about because of the federal courts, period.
There's a lot of truth to that.
But it's not been for the state legislature or the executive branch.
It's goddamn sure not state legislature. Yeah. I mean, I've been there. Your legislature has been... I figure that we started to throw off the control of the your business banking communities had in the state back in 1971, the first time to really do something about an Alabama legislature. But no, your legislature, hell, they wouldn't reapportion. I spent a year trying to get them to reapportion. They won't do it. And they cussed Frank Johnson and he reapportioned. I think this is largely true on mental health. And also in your problems we've got in our prisons.
Taxes.
Yeah, sure.
How do you feel about that?
What is that?
The role of the court in that.
In what?
In those changes.
Well, goddamn, if your legislature won't do it, if the people don't demand it of your politicians, how do I feel about it? I'm glad to see it happen.
But doesn't that suggest though that Wallace has failed in leadership? I mean, he's been governor of the state more or less since 1962.
Well, no more than any other governor of any state in the union has failed in leadership. Because every state's got this problem. The only way we're unique, not in our governor, not in any failing in leadership, and not in any exhibition of leadership, but we're unique in, we've had an unusual federal judge in Alabama. That's very unique. This is...
You suspect that what Johnson did in the federal court is going to have some impact on what the judges in the state courts do now? In other words, if you want redress today, you go to Johnson's court or you go to a federal court. Do you think that's going to have any impact on the state system?
Oh, it might make a judge or two a little more adventurous, a little more imaginative and blind. Law and he has in the past. These judges are elected. by the people, and they are, like all politicians, they run scared until they realize that it's good politics for them not to run scared, which I don't think it's good politics to do anymore, but I may be wrong about it.
Did an oversimplification, when you hear the statement that Johnson's had more to do with the social change in this state than Wallace?
I wouldn't say it'd be an oversimplification. The question is whether it'd be accurate or not. And I don't know. I don't know. I mean, their impact of each has been so different. I don't think it's accurate. I don't think it's accurate.
But if you're looking, say, at the last 15 years, and you're looking for two or three people who had most of the impact on the state.
Oh, it's got to be Wallace. Got to be Wallace. Johnson got to be next to him. Who else?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
What do you think will happen after Wallace leaves the state political
center? Oh, all these young turds are going. They're all going to be, they're running right now. They're going to be running. They're going to have a hell of a scramble. Same thing. I mean, that's what will happen. I mean, you know the answer to that question. You'll have a bunch of young people running for, I say young people, you'll have a bunch of folks who are younger than he is who will be scrambling.
What would happen if some guy like Frank Rose were to run?
Shit. About the same thing would happen if you ran.
How about if Cornelius
fuck. Get serious. Frank Rose, fucking hell, my gantry. They ought to chase the sun themselves. Phony bastards. Don't worship these college presidents. I'd rather deal with a bunch of whores than college presidents, and I've dealt with them. I don't know about Cornelia. That's interesting. She's a very appealing woman. You can't exclude possibility she could be a candidate. I think it's improbable. Because for this reason, I think when Wallace winds up, his political career, that'll be it for him. I mean, I think if he has any possibility of going on, it'll either be running for the United States Senate or something like that. I can't believe.
Can you visualize him, quote, winding up, end of quote, his political career ever?
No.
Can you see Cornelia running?
That's reason. If I find Cornelia, that prospect.
Yeah, that if she runs, would you see her running differently then from Lurline?
Well, they're two different people. I mean, Cornelia's, Lurline was a very shy, withdrawn sort of gal. And, Cornelia is not shy, not withdrawn. She's more outgoing, more expressive. Whether this is good or bad politically, I don't know.
But if she ran for governor, would it be perceived that she is really just running that George would be governor for four more years?
Well, of course, I know Cornelia, and he wouldn't be. But whether it be perceived or not, whether it be perceived or not, it depends on how Cornelia would handle it. My guess is toward the end of that campaign, a suspicion would creep in that she wanted to be governor herself, and fuck George. I don't foresee that really. I don't think she'll be a candidate because as long as Wallace can survive politically, and this assumes his survival, then he's going to be the candidate.
Well, that would mean the Senate, right? Assuming
yeah.
Washington.
Yeah.
Could he get elected to the Senate?
Yeah. If he could get elected to anything. I mean, assuming that his health remains constant, or his physical condition remains constant.
How is his physical condition? Is it getting better or worse or stable?
Heck, I think it's stable now. Back in last year, you can never tell about Wallace. He'd have people in there, you know, and trying to get appointments or contracts or jobs. He'd give them this shit, but he just want to get rid of those damn people now. I mean, I know this a lot of times because I could, I've watched him too damn many times. And he just want to get the fuck out of there, you know, and leave it alone. He's tired of that stuff.
So he just grimaces.
Yeah, but you must. But I ask him all the time, he said, yeah, I have some pain. He said, yeah, that hurts like hell, not all the time. But I do have a good bit of pain. How much pain he has, I don't know. But I think his condition is stabilized, but still it's got to be highly uncertain condition. Organs that are not functioning. Whatever infection he'd have, I don't know how effective antibiotics are anymore. So he's, anybody who's suffered through what he's been through got to be uncertain their life expectancy.
To what extent is his present popularity based on sympathy?
None. That's bullshit, man. Folks ain't like that. I remember back in 1970, we argued this damn point. They were talking about Little Lee. Gutton didn't want to use her. He didn't want to mention Lurleen in that damn race. And I agreed with him. I thought he was absolutely right. But people are shitting. You think the average guy is out working his guts out? He got all the problems he can handle with young'uns and a wife and stretching that paycheck, he ain't got no room for sympathy.
One Republican told us that the injury had deified Wallace.
That's bullshit. Goddamn, I always say that it had deified him with the Alabama legislature. In 1971, we went through hell all year long. We were in session. We were fighting his ass, and he had nothing.
We're talking about the, after the shooting.
I understand. I'm fixing to tell you, in 1973, it was the same goddamn thing with the legislature. They had gotten up and cussing him and raising hell about him. We talked about this at the beginning. I said, now, Governor, I don't think they're going to cuss you quite as much. They're going to be cussing folks around you like Taylor Hardin and me and Harry Pennington and people like that. But they ended up, before it was all with, cussing him down there as much then, as folks in the legislature against him. But that's sympathy shit, yes. I wish somebody could, of course, I don't know whether you could test this by a poll or not, but shit. I mean, I could look at local races here where you'd think sympathy would play a role in it. But out of that, the electorate may feel sympathy, but I don't believe they express it in the way they vote. I think there are other factors that are much, much more important in shaping how they vote.
As long as I mention the word Republican, tell us about the Republican Party in Alabama. Where do you think it's going?
Well, they have elected. You must assume that since the people down here have embraced Agnew and Nixon with much more enthusiasm, I mean, Republican politicians have than most other parts of the country, that skillful opponent, Democratic opponent, could, I think, knock off damn near any Republican. But you don't have many skillful people running for political office anymore. They're getting out of it. I think they're sort of on a decline in this state. I believe that, I think it started, of course, you know when they started up with Goldwater. And they thought Goldwater was somehow right on the race thing and other things that affected them. But then I think they've sort of been, since they have elected Republicans and the world hadn't changed and the state hadn't changed and problems largely remained the same. A lot of people thought that Wynton Blunt last year was going to do a hell of a lot better against John Sparkman than he did. Sparkman beat the hell out of him. I think your Republican Party is, has, well, through Eisenhower's years and Nixon's election, I think they have seen their better days for a while in Alabama.
Did Watergate hurt them?
Oh, hell yeah. Goddamn, yeah. The Clark Reed's full of shit, friend. Y'all talk Clark, yeah?
Yeah.
He's full of shit. Shit, he was telling me, Clark's thesis said, I guess he's still passing that crap around, and Watergate has strengthened the Republican Party in the South. That's nonsense. I mean, God. Every guy that I have talked to who ran for office in Mobile County, legislative offices in the recent elections, who got out and campaigned with people, I mean, got on a street and walked up, going into every business on the street, went into a small town and went into every business, has told me the same thing, that once you talk to a voter a little bit, that he's pretty fucking sore about Watergate.
How do you explain Walter Flowers then, coming out, you know, all this?
Yes. Walter's never been the brightest guy in the world.
He hadn't been out talking to people, is that it?
Well, I don't know. Now, he ran down here, but he may be assessing this thing based on his the letters that he's received. Now, the anti-impeachment people will write. The pro-impeachment people, the folks that are sick of the whole fucking thing and think Nixon is a goddamn cheat and a liar and a disgrace, they're not going to write. But if Walter would talk, and I don't think Mobile County is any different from Tuscaloosa County, if he'd talked to a couple of them, I've talked to three of them, pretty perceptive guys who ran and who conducted hard campaigns on the ground, they all told me the same thing, that once you scratch that average voter a little bit, he's highly pissed off about Watergate. The tax thing, they don't like that. I mean, that's bombing Cambodia and stuff, you know, that didn't make much of an impression on him, but the tax thing, that's got him pretty sore. I believe this, too. It makes sense to me. Oh, I got to figure, to get back to your question, Walter, that the Republican Party has got some pretty bucket days ahead of it down here. Of course, there'll be individuals who will be able to, by virtue of other appeals, or move themselves from the stigma of Watergate. But I just don't believe the South. I keep saying these polls show that the guy's in much better shape down here than anywhere else, but maybe he is, but I haven't felt it. I haven't been around that much, but those the candidates who have, who've been out talking, tell me that they sure as hell don't see. I don't think we're not to worry about those turds. Some of them be elected. I don't think they'll be a force. The day of Jim Martin, for example, I think that day is gone. I don't know what's on Walter's mind. You're talking about that 1919 speculation? Beats it. I think those guys are playing games, I think. I noticed yesterday and in the morning paper, there was some guy that came out, he said there's only one word I can use to describe Peterson's testimony. It was dynamite. And, did you hear this?
I saw it in this morning's paper.
Yeah, and then you see what the rest of them said. It was on television, also in the newspaper. And then this St. Clair said he thought it was highly favorable. And then the other guys, I think they're really playing games with the press when they come out of there. Now, Walter, I never thought Walter was quite sophisticated enough to be playing that sort of game and saying that the count might be 1919. I don't know what he's doing. Hedley might be right.
How would he know?
No way he can know, and there's no way.
Two guys already said he was crazy. He couldn't predict that.
How can he speak for Cohen, for example? Now, you got to assume Cohen is going to vote for impeachment. At least everything indicates he's going to so far. Then how can he speak for the other two? What, one of them from Tennessee and one from Arkansas?
Can he speak for Jimmy Whitten and who else?
No, Jim Mann and Ray Thompson.
You know, where are they from?
South Carolina and Arkansas.
South Carolina and Arkansas. How the hell can he speak for those guys?
He's principal hypothesis when he did his study in Southern politics, which was that if you understood the politics of race in the South, you understood Southern politics.
Well, that's been largely true. It's been largely true. Walter, then.
It's still true?
Well, not in the sense that, which I think Key meant that. Race is still important, but there is a difference. 6 or 8 years ago, if I was running for office in Mobile County, he would have to deal with one group to get the black vote. And you had a single black leadership. But this is no longer the case. Now you've sort of got tribal warfare going on. You've got in Mobile, for example, you've got Jay Cooper, who has his following. Then you got an old-time civil rights leader named John LaFleur. Both of them good friends of mine. They'll never admit it, but they're developing into bitter enemies. They've each got their own spheres of influence. Then you've got other small groups. You've got a labor union here, ILA, made up largely of black people. So that you don't have a block vote. It's split up. But sometimes they'll get together on a race. Most of the time they're going to be on different sides. But still, race is awfully important. At one time, the white people, as soon as they found out how the blacks were going to vote, hell, you could change 30% of the white people in this county if you could get out the black ballots, you know, and show them how the blacks are going to vote. That's not true anymore. That's not so anymore.
How about the open exploitation of race as an issue?
I think that day is gone. That's gone. That a curious thing happened, though. 15 years ago, my home county, which is Washington, and we've always had a heavy black vote there, and I've had trouble registering in Washington County. There was no stigma attached to, don't go back that far, let me go back about 12 years ago, there was no stigma attached to the black vote up there. They've got about 40% black vote in Washington County, immediately in North Mobile County. But in this last election, the white people went against every candidate the blacks were for. My mother was telling me about it, and I was really surprised because they've never done that before. They've always, I mean, they used to be like they are in this county. I mean, now, they don't care how the blacks vote. So again, you get back to the folks got shit all the problems they can say grace over without worrying about the affording the luxury of voting against somebody because somebody else is voting for him. But it's still a factor in politics here. It's still something that's tough to deal with, man. Money-wise, you have to spend money on them. Most of them, not all of them. It tests a candidate. If he can handle the black situation running, then I've always said he's qualified to hold a public office because it's a real challenge to deal with them. And then when you get into...
What's the money role in Arkansas and in Alabama politics with blacks?
Fucking money, man. Got to pay. You do down here. And I've heard it's true in other places. Of course, they don't say it to you, look, you got to pay me to get to the vote. You got a list of people there. I'm not saying it's illegitimate. I don't know whether it is or not. They have names that we've got to give this guy $15 to haul the work. Our printing bill for our ballot we're going to put out is $300. And you'll have a list and it'll total up, say, $6,280. And they've got 12 races. They'll divide that figure by 12 and you're one of the candidates going to be endorsed and you put up your proportionate share of the money.
But that's with an itemized budget being cost.
Well, fuck, I could itemize a budget too. Shit, man. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? If you're on the ballot and you want to vote, you give it to them. You don't nitpick with them and say, well, are you really giving John